Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. Excited to be together today. Like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple process that we do. There are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you wouldn't mind, take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, once you're finished, please send it back to where it got started today. And that first person, when it comes to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. We have great news. If you see to my left, there's a beautiful rose in honor of Larkin Maine McCrary. New son of Jason and Kelly was born this past Thursday, and we celebrate with them. It's always an exciting thing when God blesses a family with a new one. So we would ask you to be praying for them as they transition into less sleep than they had before. So we are very excited about that. We do have upcoming dinner and a show. It's 2 weeks. Yes. Yes, I'm so looking forward to the Monday after. We are very excited about the dinner and the show. We only have 4 seats left for Saturday and about 20 left for Sunday. So we're excited about that. It's going to sell out, and it's just going to be a great, great time together. The youth have been working hard. The parents have been working hard. The show is just going to be, it's always a fun, memorable time. And so we're looking forward to being a part of that in 2 weeks. It is our time for communion today, and we celebrate a special time, as is our custom. We have, as you leave today, we're going to have 2 of our young people that will be collecting benevolence offering. We take on communion days an extra offering for those that in our community that have specific needs, and we encourage you to give as you are able to that at either one of these doors at the end of the service. It's hard to believe, but Ash Wednesday is this week. Ash Wednesday, we'll be celebrating that this Wednesday night, 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We'll be supper as normal, and then everybody will be in here for the Ash Wednesday service. That is one of the most powerful services we get to be in together. So we encourage you to be a part of that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make sure you make note of those things under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. We want to say a special welcome to our guest today. If you're a guest and you gave us information on the pew pad, we're thankful for that. And we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just slip your hand up, raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers are going to come down the aisles. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, to our worship service today. Also, you'll find a letter from our pastor and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. Raymond and Sandra are gone today. They are taking some time away, and we are mindful of them and prayerful for them. We know that you will be as well. We are glad to be together. Whether you are struggling with tragedy in your family, whether you're struggling with tragedy at work, struggle with family health, no matter what your struggle, what my struggle may be, we serve a God who is bigger than all of it. We serve a God who knows, even when we can't speak to our struggles and our pain, we know a God who understands every bit. And so we come, and we are thankful, and we come to worship to give everything that we have to Him who gave His all to us. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, as that memorable song reminds us, you are calling us to shine our light for you. And nothing that would come against us can take that light away. Father, on this day, we come to tell you and to tell the world what we believe, who we have faith in. That is Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah. We thank you for the gift of this time, how it can energize us, can give us purpose, how you use this time to remind us of your presence, a presence that never leaves us. Hear us as we worship you. And speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us rejoice. This is the day.
Ministry of God's Word comes from two places in Holy Scripture, Exodus 34 and Luke chapter 9, page 66 and page 733 on the Pew Bible there in front of you. If you do not have yours, you're welcome to turn to those two places. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. First, Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. And then turning to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen. You'll find these words in your bulletin. At his transfiguration, Jesus appeared changed. His face became as bright as lightning. His countenance was an outward reflection of his claim to be the light of the world. Jesus also referred to his followers as the light of the world. As such, we are called to reflect his light and his love to those around us. Just as Moses' face shined after he spent time with God on the mountain, our lives should reflect the time we spend with our Father. Each of us is called to let our light shine before men in word, action, and attitude, not for our own glory, but so that God will be seen and glorified.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we have been reminded several times through the beautiful music, the reading of your eternal word, and the fellowship with fellow believers. You have reminded us you are here. And Father, as we read in Scripture this morning, when we come face to face with you, we cannot help but be changed. This morning, help us to see, are we truly changed because of you? Are our lives different? Do our faces show your love to those who see us? Do our lives show the truth and the grace that Jesus showed on the cross? Can people see you in us? That is what this world needs. People who have been changed by what Jesus did, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in an eternal relationship with God the Father. In the brokenness, in the despair, this world seems to be stuck. And we have the answer. May we be the kind of people who are different and that show love and compassion, not to get something in return, not to be seen, but to point people to you. That is what we need. That is what this world needs. That is what we were called to do, given this life. May we see the needs of the world as you see them. May we have your eyes and your ears, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being here and worshiping you this morning. We thank you for the promise of spring and the promise of Easter. Lord, I ask that you be with our country, and I ask that you let our light shine so that people will know that we are different because of your love for us. Thank you for all these gifts you have given us, and bless our tithes and offerings. In thy name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be here today, as it always is, for worship. Today, as many of you know, is the Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday in which we pause in our liturgical calendar to stop and to enjoy the story on the mountainside where Peter, James, and John got to see Jesus for who he really was. And maybe that day they put some things together. Earlier, Jeff read for us that story. When they got to see Jesus in all of his radiant glory, and not only they got to see Jesus, but they also got to see Moses and Elijah there with him. But what does transfiguration mean? Transfiguration is a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. The transfiguration passage in our scripture in the Gospel of Luke follows the passage of scripture where where Peter was confessing Jesus to actually be the Christ. So Peter's starting to get it here. And then following that, we have Jesus telling the disciples, hey, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and daily follow after me. And so here we have that in context of what's happening in the story. And this has been about 8 days, so it's been about a week since Jesus challenged the disciples to take up their cross and to follow him. And here we have Peter, James, and John up on a mountainside praying with Jesus. They were kind of falling asleep, we can see from Scripture. But you know, think about it. Who wouldn't want to be up on a mountainside with Jesus? We've all had those mountaintop experiences in our life, and have to apologize to Jeff this morning in the recreation service. I kind of made it seem like he had never taken me on a mountaintop experience, and that's because I mentioned how I grew up here at the church and all my mountaintop experiences growing up came on youth trips. And I said, Raymond took me, not Jeff. I did not mean that. Sorry, Jeff. He had good fun with me following the service, so I wanted to clear my name before we left here today. But we've all had those mountaintop experiences. But the problem for us, at least for me as an adult, is we don't pause to take enough time as an adult to go and create that experience. We kind of just wait for it to happen. But no, Jesus knew the experience was about to happen, so he took these guys with him to go up on a mountain and to meet with God. You know, think about your life. Maybe it's time for you to pause and take time to spend with God, to meet with him. Because God's the same every day. Jesus is the same person. Sometimes we just overlook all his glory and who he really is. And so that's just a challenge for you. So it's been a week since this happened. You know, what must it have been like for to be there with Jesus? I think the band Mercy Me said it best. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I don't know what my response would be, but I can only just think about it. What would it be to all of a sudden be asleep while I'm praying and wake up and see Jesus for who he really is? Pretty special. And you know, their response was, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to have those mountaintop experiences. But it wasn't only Jesus they saw. They also saw the appearance of Moses and Elijah in verse 30 that Jeff read earlier today. And what does that have to do? What's the significance of that? And so I did a little research, and most people suggested that it had the symbolic image of the law and the prophets. So everything that's ever been said, everything that's ever been promised is now being seen by Peter, James, and John right in front of their eyes. And here we have Moses and Elijah talking amongst themselves, talking to Jesus about Jesus' departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem through the ultimate fulfillment of the scriptures in the days to come. But, you know, the disciples, they probably still didn't get it, as we can see throughout the rest of scripture, but God interjects, doesn't he? You know, it takes me back to when God interjected after Jesus was baptized. After Jesus came out of the water, God said, you are my beloved son. With you, I'm well pleased. But today, God's claim was not to Jesus, but to the disciples. He said, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. When God had finished saying these words, the clouds went away, and there the disciples found Jesus alone. One significant part from the account of Luke's gospel in the Transfiguration story is that neither Matthew nor Mark mentioned that this happened in the context of prayer. We shouldn't be surprised by that, because Luke mentions prayer more than any of the other gospels. He mentions Jesus taking time to spend alone, that example that we need to take note of and to be sure we do that ourselves, is to take time by ourselves to spend alone with God. So ask us the question, you know, is it good for us to be here? You know, the disciples finally realized, I think, even if it was just for a moment, it was good. It was good for them to be on that mountain that day. You know, it's always good for us to come together as a body. As a body to rub shoulders with one another, to lean on each other, to support each other. Today we celebrate Christ's glory before the passion, before the journey. That way we can be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into His likeness. We enter into this Lenten season with the observance of Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday right here. And through the season of Lent, we'll pause to reflect the journey that Christ took towards the cross. And then Easter reveals the fullness of Christ, which is foreshadowed in today's transfiguration. But you know, today's a turning point. Today's a turning point for Jesus. It's from where He shifts from His public ministry towards His journey towards Jerusalem, ultimately to the cross, ultimately for us. And so for that, we should be thankful. Jesus today sets His face to go to Jerusalem. And on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus met the disciples in the upper room. And that's when they took time to share in the Lord's Supper. Here we're about to do that together corporately. A little brief word about how we do that here at College Park. We practice an open communion. We invite all believers, not necessarily members of College Park, but if you're a believer in our Lord, we invite you to come to the table with us. As the elements are passed, and as you pass the elements, we invite you to not only take for yourselves, but don't take, be served. Allow your neighbor to serve you. Allow them to give you the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. Now let's join a time of communion as we prepare our hearts for communion. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me if you would. Father, I thank You. I thank You for being our God, for sustaining us, but more importantly than just sustaining us, Father, for making a way we have to enter into Your gates. Father, thank You for the gift of Your Son. Father, as we observe communion, allow us to reflect on our own life. Father, renew us, restore us. Father, prepare us for the journey of carrying our own cross to follow after You. It's Your name we pray. Amen. Before they took the bread, or as He took the bread, they gave thanks. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank You. We thank You for making a way through the gift of Your Son. Father, help us to show other people the way. Shame we ask. Amen. He took the body and said, take and eat. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, because without him, we wouldn't have a way. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Through him, we have a way to have eternity with you forever. In your name, we thank you. Amen. Drink from it, all of you. It is said that following, they went out to the Mount of Olives singing of him. And so today, please join with me as we sing hymn number 579, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Yeah.
invite you. Don't forget about our Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday right here at 7 o'clock. Be a great time of worship together. That's one of the special services we do during the week here at College Park throughout the year. So you won't want to miss that. I challenge you, prepare to pick up your cross and to follow Jesus as we enter into this season of Lent. And if you need to have that mountaintop experience, find a way to get away by yourself to spend with our Lord and Savior in prayer. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything, because without you, we would have nothing. Father, as we enter into this Lenten season, Father, allow it to change us. Father, make us and mold us. Change us into who you need us to be to serve you. It's in all these things we ask. Amen.